Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go, Draft Knicks, here we go. Welcome to another edition of Draft Nation. My name is Joe412, and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes. Before we drop the puck tonight, I want to thank our sponsor, iHeartRadio, where you can find all of your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all for free all the time. And for those of you who haven't listened to our show, Draft Nation is a national e-magazine that hyper-focuses on all four major sports and their professional drafts. So therefore, we're covering aspects of player scouting, mock drafts, free agency, even salary cap provisions, and of course the needs of your favorite teams. And tonight we have a very special guest. The NHL season started last week, and with me I have Carey Krug, president of Next Level Player Development, focusing on helping prospects get the most out of their game. He's a coach, a scout, a player development specialist for hockey all over the world, and to be honest, he's part of the Michigan hockey royalty. Carey, very special welcome to Draft Nation, and are you ready to go on the clock?
Thanks, Joe. Absolutely. Thanks for that kind welcoming.
No, well, hey, man, you deserve it. First, before we get into it, tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what you're doing now.
I was with Columbus Blue Jackets for a while. Did some stuff with the Wings. 4 years of the National Development Program. Adrian College for a stint with my nephews, Adam Krug, who's a 800 win percentage in college hockey, which is crazy, really good. And now just, you know, still working with NHL guys, coaching the Pittsburgh Vengeance U14 team in Pittsburgh, in your area. So that's kind of what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, just up the road in Cranberry at the Lemieux Sports Complex there. And well, let's talk about that for a little bit, because you have a really interesting background. I mean, the Millers, the Krugs, the Vellucci's, these are names that are synonymous with U.S. hockey, and in particular, the crown jewels of Michigan hockey. What's it been like to be part of such a Michigan and also a U.S. hockey legacy?
Well, you know, first you have to talk about the Millers. And you have Drew Kipp, you know, who's a Hobey Baker winner, you know, his brothers. And you can go on and on with the Millers and all Michigan State guys. Where, you know, Tori, my nephew, actually played college hockey at. And yeah, you look
go,
at
– Go Blue, by the way. Go Blue. Go Blue. Wrong team.
Go green, go white, yep. Then you look at my brother Kyle. My brother Kyle was probably arguably the winningest coach in Michigan AAA hockey. Of course, you have Tori with St. Louis now. Adam, who's at Adrian College. His brother Matt. We're not very tall in our family. He's like 6 foot, so he got the hugeness. I think he had a different dad. I'm not sure.
mailman, right?
Yeah, exactly. But then you have Vellucci, who's your assistant coach now in Pittsburgh, and his brothers played. So it's funny you said that, because Darren McCarty was talking on his podcast and said the same thing. So,
well, there's a wing for you through and through. I mean, that guy's just a legend for Michigan hockey too. But look, you know, we have you on the show here, and we're kind of a unique podcast, right? We're a unique radio show. We talk about scouting. We don't talk about last night's games. We do every now and then when they're relevant to players. But, you know, I really want to have your insights on three of the game's young studs. And first, let's talk about last year's first overall pick, Chicago Blackhawks' Connor Bedard. He faced off against Pittsburgh and got his first victory, his first assist against the Penguins on the 10th. And, you know, I had a pleasure of seeing him at the combine this past spring, but tell us and our listeners through the eyes of a scout and from a player development specialist, what makes a guy like Connor Bedard so special?
What's not to say about him? I mean, you know, that, you know, being 5'10", right-handed shot, centerman, you know, playing the WHL last year, the Regina Pats, 143 points, I think he had in 57 games, 71 goals. The thing that makes him, he's just so deceptive with his skating. He can change gears at any point in time. His edge work is, you know, through the roof. Shot is amazing. He's got a release that's just a wicked release. You know, kind of like Austin Matthews, right? But the way he changes the shot angles all the time and keeps goalies guessing, you can go on to his puck skills, his puck protection skills. His hockey IQ is off the chart. I mean, He sees things, and, you know, one of the things that, you know, I try to instill in my players is always know where you want to go. Think one, two steps ahead and know where to put pucks. And also with him, he competes every shift in, shift out. And what I really saw, you know, watching some of his stuff is he competes again in every shift, but he has an edge to his game. And I think he's going to be fun to watch for years. He's just a special player.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Austin Matthews' shot. I mean, and maybe these comparisons are wrong, but in my head, this is sort of my era, and I might be dating myself here. But when I see him skate, he reminds me of Paul Kariya, and when I see him shoot, he reminds me of Pat LaFontaine. And maybe you're taking both of those the best for me. LaFontaine might have had the best hands I've seen, say for like Lemieux and Gretzky, like the ultimate generational talents. But LaFontaine's hands were so quick. And Bedard's remind me of that. So, you know, I'm glad to get your scout player development eyes on that. You know, in this year's draft class with Bedard and Leo Carlson and Fantilli, go blue again, and Matvei Mishkov, and any other year, you could say that all of these guys, or perhaps all of them, should have gone number one overall. But because of Bedard, you know, Fantilli is gift wrap for the Columbus Blue Jackets, a team that I know that's near and dear to your heart. And as a former Michigan guy, it hurts me to see him and both Gavin Brindley go south to play in that evil place of Columbus. But you know, tell us what your thoughts are on Fantilli. And before you do, hail to the victors and go blue one more time.
Well, you know, yeah, of course, University of Michigan guy. Got to see him play, you know, a few times last year. He's a big boy. I mean, he's 6'2", 195 center. And I think Columbus has him playing the wing right now, if I'm not correct. Of course, second overall pick. You just talked about that. You know, again, and then he won the Hobey Baker. You know, Kariya, you brought him up, and then guy special to me, Jack Eichel, the only freshman to ever win, that award. But you know, again, it's kind of it's kind of like the same class. You know, it's you look at his speed; he's so fast, strong in his skates, great edge work, very deceptive with his linear crossovers. He keeps guys guessing, and he can switch on you, in a dime. His hockey IQ, again, hockey IQ, that's the biggest thing. Think of 1-2 steps ahead of the game. Where are you going with pucks? Getting in those open areas, receive pucks, learning how to change points of attack, you know, below the goal line, you know, and then again up top. But, and again, he, you know, really, really, really good shot, drives the net extremely hard. You know, and I'm always going to talk about compete, right? You're at that level, you got to compete, shift in and shift out. And again, he also plays with an edge. He can be a little nasty. But he's, again, like you said, he could have went first overall. He's a pretty, you watch him and your eyes just, like Bedard or your top players in the league, your eyes just go to them. You know, it's kind of easy to find the studs. It's you know, when you're scouting or when you're watching, it's, you find those in-between players. That's the cool thing. And what I like about him is he can play in every situation. He's another guy who's going to be fun to watch over the years. And go Columbus, right?
Yeah. Well, that's part true. You at least inherited him in the right place for a guy like that has the blue jacket blood. How about, you know, I know this isn't, I'm just kind of skipping around here, but not in this draft class. With someone I know you had a chance to watch scout and see up close and personal, Matty Beniers. Again, another Wolverine, but what are your expectations for him as a rising prospect now that he's had a cup of coffee in the league?
You really like these Wolverines, eh? They're pretty good. No,
I wonder why.
you know, he's a big kid too, 6'2". He probably is going to be putting on some weight here soon, but 180 pounds, of course, out of Michigan. Last season, I think he won the Calder Trophy, right? So. With the Kraken, and what he honestly is a guy that played out of Pittsburgh. He reminds me a lot of is Ronnie Francis, and of course, Ronnie was the first ever draft choice for Seattle, drafted Matty, right? So, you know, you look and
comparison.
He plays like Francis, and those are big, huge shoes to fill. I mean, Ronnie Francis is Ronnie Francis, but
they're Hall of Fame shoes. You just stuck them right
exactly.
In.
He does it all too. He plays in every zone. He works hard. He competes. And again, you're going to hear me say that these are top guys that are, coming in the league, just responsible. He's a PP guy. He can kill penalties. you know, just the only down, not really even a downside, because players, you know, the way they're shooting now, I mean, the one thing, his shot's gotten better. He's working with a guy here in Detroit, used to be my co-head coach over at Honeybaked, but he's another guy that's going to be special. Just you know, all three of the guys that you just mentioned, the way they see the game, the way they think the game, thinking one, two steps ahead, you know, that's when you get to the top league, pretty much you all can skate, handle a puck, pass, shoot. But it just comes down to, really comes down to hockey IQ. What are you doing? What are we trying to do? What, you know, what team are we playing? You know, what kind of attack do we have? And, you know, they get ready for those games, you know, the day up, they're watching film, they're watching what's going on. So, you know, and then they take what they're seeing, and they put themselves in those situations, and it's pretty amazing to watch. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch these guys play for a long time. Absolutely.
Yes. Let me switch gears a bit, because, you know, you mentioned Torrey at the top and his story, and our listeners love, I get more comments on the behind the scenes talk about individual player draft stories than we do about other things. And yeah, I hear from them all the time, and Torrey has a special draft story. Now, I know he wasn't as touted nor as celebrated as Bedard, Fantilli, and others, but, you know, he found his way into the league in a very different way. Do you mind giving us a little bit of a history of Torrey in particular, and how he raised his game to the next level to find his way into the NHL?
Yeah, you know, it's going back years now. You know, he was short. He was 5'6", little pudgy fucker. Sorry. nobody wanted him. You know, nobody wanted him. There's a guy named, I forget his first name, Pete, drafted him last round of the OHL draft. It was the only team that wanted him. So Torrey, you know, was like, I'm not going to play there. So he's going to go play high school hockey. And so summer came along, and Jeff Laschel, who's coach of Detroit, and unbelievable guy, saw him in a summer camp and talked to Torrey and his dad, Kyle, and said, hey, I'm coaching Indiana in the USHL next year. I'd love for you to come run my power play, because I saw you play a little bit last year. And so Torrey goes, oh, absolutely. He goes, well, first of all, I have to convince my owner that I'm going to bring in a 5'6" guy to run my power play. So that, you know, so that had to be so, you know, they got together. Torrey was an all-rookie team. They won the Clark Cup together. And then Torrey went to Michigan State, had a great, you know, great career, never got drafted. Blaschel had a great career, you know, at Western, then went into the Detroit organization. And Torrey basically was playing at Michigan State, fired his agent, and then got a new agent, which I believe you know of, Mark Tooth. And then 23 teams wanted to sign him. Came down to Boston, Chicago. You know, you had Scotty Bowman and Stan Bowman calling, you know, Torrey and my brother saying, hey, you know, we'd love to have him come run our power play. And they're like, well, you got Duncan Keith. He said, yeah, but, you know, he's getting older. He needs some new blood. You know, and they're like, oh, okay. So I went to Boston. Came in as a little over body percentage, what they like in Boston. They like a 10% or below coming into camp. So they sent him down to the minors. And true story, playoffs were going on. Him and I are on the I'm on the phone, on the computer. We're booking a trip to Vegas, 4-1, Boston-Toronto, Game 7. And so we're talking, where do we want to go? 4-2, then it's 4-3. And he goes, hey, Seidenberg just got hurt. Where Seidenberg is the defenseman for the Bruins. And all of a sudden, Bergeron scores, tie it up. He said, hold on a second. He goes, if we come and win it, I'm next man up. Sure enough, Bergeron scores in overtime. He goes up and scores 4 goals in 5 games. Sets an NHL record. And, you know, it's for people that have kids or even kids that might be listening. And you know, being drafted sometimes not a blood. It's great, right? But sometimes if you get drafted by the wrong team, you could be stuck there, you know, forever. You know, and I think Torrey's story is it's an amazing story, because, you know, if that Seidenberg didn't get hurt, and they didn't move on to playoffs, and he didn't go up and do what he did, he might be a lawyer right now, you know? So it's everything's luck and by the grace of God. Right. So, but yeah, that's a good story. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love it. And we've had guys on here that have missed the draft weren't invited to the combine and all of their stories. I think those are the ones that our listeners gravitate to the most. I mean, those are the ones that are like the underdog of Rudy from Notre Dame kind of stories. And you hear these things and you're right about what happened to Torrey in the sense that, you know, because he wasn't drafted and he got a chance to almost, you know, find the right system for him, it worked out well. And look where he is now. I mean, the guy's, you know, kicking butt and taking names. So that's great. But, you know, I know you've had a chance to work with many NHL coaches over the years and some, dare I say, future Hall of Fame coaches. Tell us in particular to you, well, in this case, let's start out with Tortorella and then go to Mike Babcock, because I know, you know, Torts, you know, with Columbus, he's a bad name in my city. Like he might be the one coach that everybody in Pittsburgh hates the most, loves to hate, put it that way, you know, respect the guy, love to hate him. And then of course, you know, Mike Babcock and things like that. Do you mind telling us a couple of stories about your time working with those guys?
Yeah, I'll be quick on the Torts. First of all, I just love the way he handles the media. I think he's great. I love it. I get laughter out of it. It's fun to watch him. I remember walking. So Manny Legacy brought me into Columbus. So I was player development and assistant coach with Cleveland, the American League. And I go to Manny and say, "Hey, go introduce me to Torts." He goes, "You work here now. Go introduce yourself." You know, I said, "Okay, all right." So I knocked on the door and I said, "Hey, John, Kerry Krug." He goes, "Yeah, I heard you were coming here." He goes, "Is it your nephew or your son?" I said, "My nephew." And he goes, "Torrey, right?" I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "He really fucked me in the playoffs that year." I really just started laughing, right? And then, on the gentle side of him, I saw their horses behind, and I used to have 12 horses indoor riding arena, 10.5 acres. You know, my daughter's over there now. And we started talking about horses and what an animal lover is. So you saw the kindness, you know, out of them. But, you know, one of the things that changed my development path for training players was everybody has the stick handling and the skating and the puck control and shooting, right? But I asked Torts today, do you think you can teach hockey IQ? And as soon as I got out of my mouth, he goes, "Fuck yes." He goes, "Absolutely." He goes, "That's a problem with today's players, some of the players today." So you've looked at the American League and the NHL, they're all pretty much the same with the elite guys, right? But it's the smarts, it's the intelligence. And that's one of the biggest things I think players and parents really need to focus on is where to go with pucks, where are you trying to go, find those soft areas. When you run out of space, where do you move pucks? How are you exiting out of the zone? What kind of forecheck is it? Who are you looking for? You know, and I think, like, again, going back to one or two steps, thinking ahead, you know, Torts really kind of changed my mentality on how to work with whether they're NHL players, American League players, or, you know, youth AAA players.
You know, that's a great point about hockey IQ. It sometimes gets, I'm not going to say passed over, but you're right. I mean, unless your name is Connor Bedard or Adam Fantilli, all the guys at that level are pretty much the same, you know, or close to the same skill-wise. It's the guys that separate themselves because they know how to play the game and they know where they need to be. And, you know, Wayne Gretzky always said, you have to skate to where the puck is going to be, not where it is. And, you know, all this. I mean, have you, as a player development guy, I mean, is there a way, like how, like, if you don't mind getting into the weeds for a few minutes, like how do you teach that to somebody, save for experience on the ice where is that what it is? It's just reps? Or, you know, are you going in there and saying, look, this is what you need to look for in the classroom, and then you take it out onto the ice? Or, you know, is there a mental aspect of the game that you can teach in through discipline and, you know, sort of mental reps before you hit the ice?
It's everything you said. It's reps. It's understanding the game. The biggest thing is just understanding where you're at on the ice and routes. Because, you know, it looks like they're not doing routes, but there's actually routes involved. They, you know, that's what you have to work on. And showing that, like what F1 does, F2, you know, staying below the goal line, the F3 up top, and you know, trying to find those soft areas. And you see it through video as well. You show players, like, here, watch this guy, watch that guy. You know, so they start to put things in the – you know, you hear this word in hockey, it's a process. And it is a process. It doesn't come quick. But as long as you can show them the routes, like, you know, where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do when you're attacking the net, you know, coming out of your zone, you know, where are the exits going to be at? Like I mentioned earlier, is it a 2-1-2 forecheck? Is it a 1-2-2 forecheck? You know, who's going to be the open guy? You know, and it's studying. It's for the kids out there. It's studying the game. Don't just watch the YouTube videos. Don't watch the highlights. Those are fantastic, but they're far and few in between. It's the little things in the game. It's the compete level. It's where to go. It's what to do. Before you get the puck, you got to say, if I get it, what can I do with it? But it's got to happen so quick because it's such a fast game. It's even getting faster, which is crazy. But you have to understand who's open. Go ahead.
Go ahead, please. I didn't interrupt you. Finish your talk.
You just have to know who's open. Where are you trying to go with pucks? Am I moving it to my D partner? Am I moving it guy, what I like to call the Kucherov spot or catching the edge? Do I have that available? Do I have a net front guy? Can I change a shot angle up top and get the puck through and zip it through? If it's not there, can I throw it off the wall like Nick Lidstrom used to do? That was a master at it, you know, and he'd throw it off the back wall and sure enough pop out in front and guys would bang it home. So it's just understanding, like you said, the reps and watching and studying the game. And I tell all my players to say, hey, when you go to the game, it's fun to be down by the glass, but go up top and watch just the ebb and flow of the game and where players go and what they're doing. And if you watch your favorite player, your top three, you know, whether it's try to watch one favorite player, center, winger, and a defenseman, basically, you know, three. So what are they doing? What makes them so special? Where are they going? What are they doing when they get the puck? You know, so those are things that, you know, it's just, like I said, it's a process and it's just developing those habits over time. Because the more and more you do it, the more it just becomes a habit, right? We got lucky one time to talk to Wayne Gretzky. He says, practice makes, and I said, perfect. He goes, no, practice makes permanent. How you practice is how you're going to play, which pretty smart, right? So,
that's a nice nugget of wisdom from the great one. It's funny. You mentioned two things in your comments that first of all, I didn't play at your level, but I played hockey enough to know that when I go to games, I like to sit up higher because you could see the plays develop, right? And you know what's going to happen before most of the people in the arena know what's going to happen because you've seen it so many times. And I think repetition, like you mentioned, I think is important. But there was one other thing that you mentioned on the fly that I want to get back to because it's a way the game has changed. You mentioned F1, F2, F3. You know, there was a time when hockey was played where the center played in the center of the ice and wings were locking down the wings. Now, the first guy to get to the zone, it doesn't matter what position you are, you're F1. You know, your job is – you have a different job every time you hit the offensive zone and things like that. Have you seen – have those changes to the way the game is played now, have you seen that kind of a – is that much of a sea change from when I dare say you and I played, but like or when you played? We'll say when Kerry Crew played. We'll leave it at that.
it was totally different, right? We weren't. I mean, the coaching now is, and I had good coach. My brother was one of my coaches. I mean, he helped me get to where I went. Of course, all his boys and so many other players. But it's it's understanding. Like you said, like watch up top, the ebb and flow of the game, where to go, what to do. But, you know, the F1, you know, what I'm teaching my team now is you have to understand everybody's responsibilities. I don't care if you're a winger. You better understand what the center's supposed to do, and you better understand what the D are supposed to do because you have to know that. Because coming back in a zone, if you're F1, you're coming – you know, I like to have my F1 help my D1. And then a second guy in the zone, he's taking the middle away. Third guy in the zone, whether he's left wing or right wing, whether your side's on, I want him to come in through the middle and then get over to whatever side it's on, whatever quadrant you're in. And they have to understand that even though left wing or right wing may have switched, now the play changes, you know, point of attack below the goal line. Now you're going switching sides, but now you're just basically taking each other's position. So the guy in the middle will go over towards the boards in the, let's call it the left quadrant, and then the guy that was on the right quadrant on the boards, he's coming over to the middle, helping the D out in front of the net. Even though right wing and left wing, their guys are up top, but they still have responsibilities down low. Like the guy on the wall, he's got to help that guy coming up the wall not be able to get to the middle. You know, because if he makes a pass to the D, that guy just takes a route, you know, outside back in to look and block the shot. And the guy in the middle, he needs to help the D out front, even though his guy's up top. And So it's changed quite a bit since I played. You know, that's what the best thing for young players is just when the coach is talking, listen and understand, because you never know when you're going to be put in that situation.
Yeah, there was a scene in the movie Miracle where Kurt Russell is drawing on the glass and plays and talking fast, and you know, the players are standing behind him shaking his head like, what is this guy talking about? And then by the time as time goes on, they all get it, and that's exactly what you just explained. I mean, you were the Kurt Russell of that moment on the show, kind of telling everybody where they needed to be. You explained how to play. I mean, that's the roadmap, right? So look, we're almost at the end of our time here. Only have a couple more minutes, and I glanced over this when we were talking about Tortorella, but I also know you had a chance to work alongside longtime NHL coach Mike Babcock, and Babcock's a favorite of mine because of his time in Detroit and the Red Wings and the championships there. But from a guy like that, or a guy like Tortorella, what were you able to glean from them? What did you learn from those guys working alongside them?
Everything I've just said, funny story. The first time I met Babcock, real quick, it was Zetterberg, Henrik Zetterberg, Cronwall, and Cleary brought me in to start running their practices and do some development with the guys. And I was I was going through some surgery, so I was probably 240 pounds. I'm 100 back to my fighting weight, 170. And so he's watching what I'm doing. And I come over and say, hey, Mike, nice to meet you. He goes, he looks at me up and down. He goes, they let you out there with these guys? And I said, well, if I could fucking do what I do, he'd probably win another Stanley Cup. And he starts laughing. And he goes, hey, come see me in the office when you're done. So I said, okay. But, just the way, the brief moments, how they prepare, and whether it's a player or a coach, you still have to prepare. You have to understand, get into the rooms with your other coaches, talk about this player, that player, what do they do, what kind of forechecks you're seeing, getting with the scouting staff, your pro scouts. And just really what it comes down to is how they prepare and how they get their players motivated. Whether you like, and you're probably talking about, like you said, two names that people don't really care about, but they are amazing coaches. And it comes down to how they prepare. And that's really – what I try to take into, where I want to be right now, my youth level. Because I think we talked before, do I want to go back to the NHL? I don't know. It's if I could stay, I'm a family guy. If I could stay home here with my daughter, my girlfriend, that would be cool. But to go out, I think I'd rather stay here. But you never know. If they call, maybe I'll go.
Yeah, it's hard to turn that call down, man. Well, hey, Kerry, before we let you get off the clock, tell everyone how they can find you, especially if they're interested in what you're doing now. I always want to make sure that my guests have a chance to tell people how to get a hold of them.
Yeah, I really am word of mouth. But if you go to the Next Level Player Development site, my contact information is on there. So it's www.nextlevelplayerdevelopment. So.
Well, Kerry, again, big thanks to you for coming on tonight, and again to our sponsor, iHeartRadio, where you can find all your favorite music, radio, podcasts, all for free. Kerry, thanks again for coming on. Love to have you back. And I also, next time I want to get your opinion on a few of them. We'll have a little bit more fun on what's going on in the NHL season, maybe 20 games in or whatever. We'll see. We'll bring it back on the show. But thanks again for being on, my friend. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Great being on.
Sure. And remember, all my listeners out there, while Draft Nation may be off the air, we are always on the clock for you. Thanks again, Kerry.
Thanks.